I want to thank the Lord for the traveling mercies. The Lord is so merciful that He brought all of you safely to be here. And also we want to thank the Lord for giving protection to our families who are left behind. This morning, we want to consider a very important and a question of life. Who is Jesus Christ? When this question is personalized, it becomes the most important question one will ever to be asked or to answer. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundant." Referring in John chapter 10, verse 10. And as we just read in the key text, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, we are told that if we have Son in our life, we can know that we have eternal life. Then the opposite, if we do not have, and there is no hope, and there is no eternal life. Jesus is the only way for us to live, and live a life abundant here on this earth, or to receive life eternal in fellowship and in worshiping together with Him. In Gospel John chapter 7 and 8, we read in several ways where we find Jesus is proclaimed that He was God. His birth, His life, His message, His miracles, His death, His resurrection and the empty tomb. It all reveals that He is God. And He is mingling with the people. His compassionate spirit, the understanding person, which was moving on along the streets on the earth, proclaimed that He is God. He was holy God and He was holy man. 100% God, 100% man. This mystery we cannot understand, but that is true. See, Jesus stated the purpose of His in Gospel John chapter 20, verse 31. John 20, verse 31. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." In the very name of Jesus is full of life, a life-giving power of life eternal is pronounced and is proclaimed. John, in this chapter, deals with the nature and the person of Jesus Christ. God, in the book of John, establishes the deity of Christ and who Jesus is. Let us quickly ponder and consider some of this point for the want of time. Here, Apostle establishes who Jesus in the title that John uses to describe who Jesus Christ is. In the very beginning of his writing, he said, "Jesus is called the Word." In verse 29, he is called the Lamb of God. In verse 41, he says He is the Messiah. Verse 49, he says He is Son of God. And in the same verse, he also says that He is King of Israel. And verse 42, chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 42, he says, He is the Savior of the world. And verse 6, in Gospel John chapter 20, Gospel John chapter 20, verse 28, he says, He is Lord and He is God. So he establishes the deity of Jesus, and he establishes here to understand who Jesus is for us and who Jesus in our life. And further, the apostle established the deity of Jesus Christ by recording 10 times that Jesus specifically referred to himself as I am. That he himself says that he is God, that nobody can tell that I am that I am, which is the title only for Jehovah God himself. In John chapter 6, verse 35, chapter 8, verse 12, and chapter 10, verse 7. Yes, verse 7 and verse 9, verse 10, verse 14, chapter 11, verse 25, and chapter 14, verse 6, and chapter 15, verses 1 and 5. This gives us a very clear understanding, without a shadow of doubt, our Lord, our Savior is God, 100% God. Jesus Christ was God before the world began. This is why he says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Apostle Paul explains this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And here we find he is God. And there is no stranger, there is no stronger statement than this we could be able to establish that Christ is God. In the beginning, Apostle Paul beginning this word with this, in the beginning, this means the beginning of the time and beginning of eternity, beginning of the world, which has no beginning. At the beginning of time, Jesus was. The verse referred to Jesus Christ as a word. In the Greek word, the word is logo. The word logo, which means the logo, is refers to truth. The one word has the dual meaning. The word is logo. It is truth. It is a revelation and wisdom of God, which means it is having a complete understanding of the definition of who God is. He is truth. He is a revelation of the wisdom of God. So he is the Word in person with the wisdom of God, and he is God. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from truth. He is truth. I am the truth. And I am the life. So Jesus Christ and the life is one and the same. Jesus Christ and the truth, one and the same. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The verse further stated that the Word was God. The Logo was God. There is not an article before this Deus in the Greek grammar that indicates God is a predicate. The question that is raised, not who is God, but who the Word is. Because the Word is a subject. The sentence says, the Word was God. This is an emphatic statement. Whoever is the Word is God. So the Word is God. John the Gospel chapter 1 verse 14 says, God tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, my brethren, very clearly. This is the reference only to Jesus Christ. In verse 18, further, the apostle makes it a very clear point that although no man has ever seen God, himself, who is spirit, Jesus does see God incarnated in the flesh or in the human form. Further, in verse 2, read that it is a repetition of this, that Jesus was with God. The Science of Times, August 29, 1900. The Science of the Times, August 29, 1900. Christ is the pre-existent, self-existent Son of God. In speaking of his pre-existence, Christ carries the mind back through the dateless ages. He assures us that there was never a time when he was not in close fellowship with the eternal God. He whose voice the Jews were then listening had been with God as one brought up with him. Just one more statement from the Science of the Times, December 12, 1895. The Lord Jesus is the embodiment of the glory of Godhead, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, seen in the face of Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself to man. He stooped to take upon him our nature, and in his Son we see the glory of the divine attribute. So here, Jesus Christ is a revelation and the divine attribute. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the glory of Godhead. Then further, if you say, verse 3 says, all things were made by him, which tells that Jesus Christ is the creator, and without him was not anything that was made, and without him we cannot exist by then and by now. The verb was made means came into being. It is significant because it literally means it come into the being out of nothing. Today, we have too many scientists, more than 80% of the scientists who made some inventions are still alive, which means in our generation, there can be too many inventions. Too many things are coming into introduction to the made use of the people today. But all those scientists, whatever they make, they need some ingredient. Let's take our moms. They go to the kitchen and they have to go to the pantry to have some ingredient to make some kind of food. Nobody ever can make anything from nothing. But God, he makes it out of nothing. Is that when he said, it was so. And this could nobody could do, whatever and whoever the great scientist it could be. It is significant because it literally means that it came into the being out of nothing. In our brethren, we find that Christ is a creator. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 to 10 proclaim the same thing, that Jesus is the creator, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the mighty, on the majesty on high, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hand. My brethren, here the majestic creation is the work of our Lord and Savior. And the recreation is another wonderful thing, that he recreated you and me. This is a wonderful thing that we can be happy about it, my brethren. He is a creator. He is a recreator. He provides life for us today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him, for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consisted. There is nothing on the earth came into existence by itself, whether it is throne or dominion, principalities or power. And another particular point we will quickly consider is, Jesus Christ is God, and thus he is our creator, and he is our recreator. Apart from Jesus Christ, not one thing came into existence. And Jesus Christ is life, and the life was light of men. It's not only light, not only truth, it's the light of men. John chapter 4, verse 4. The life came from Jesus Christ, and the light came from him, that we could be able to reflect him in our life. There are two ways to shine the world. Is there that led to a light shines before others? There are two ways that you can shine. Either you can be a candle and shine, or you can be a mirror and reflect. So we as a Christian, my brethren, we have only two options to do it. Be a candle or a mirror. The only one thing is repeatedly said that let your light so shine before us that we receive from Christ. In him was life, and the life was a light unto the world. The life is not in a matter, but in God. Today people try to infuse and diffuse and make all kind of cloning and everything to make life one way or other. But my brethren, the life is not in the matter, but in God. No matter what we do, when he breathed, man become a living soul. He came into existence. This is what we could understand. Jesus is called himself the light of the world. And he tells us also that you are the light of the world. So if we accept him into our life, we could be able to reflect him. Let the people see Christ in our life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is one thing that we should understand. This delegation that we have here, my brethren, it should not be just a meeting. It's just not the assembly. It should be a solemn assembly. Gathering of people. God's people gather here in the holy purpose, in the holy place. That let this place be a place of being invocation of the Holy Spirit. Let us feel the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. Let this moment be a moment where we will be uplifting our Savior. This is not uplifting a man, his ability, his talent, but uplifting our Savior, who is a creator, who is a life giver, who is a truth. He lives in you. It should be the one that should be. It should be the church which should be a living church. If we have Christ in us, we have the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know Jesus Christ, you have the life. Life eternal. It is both in you as an individual and also as a church. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. If the presence of Jesus is not felt here, and there is no life in this. So I pray together with you, my brethren, let us invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit, our mighty Savior moving among us every moment that we will spend, that this occasion will be a holy occasion. This gathering will be a holy convocation. This will not be just an organization meeting, but it is a part of an organization, a life-giving, a life-receiving, a life-shining, a life-reflecting. This is my prayer for this morning. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, shall we turn to the book, in this little book? There rings a melody, 70. Let's come to the Father. We understand who is Jesus Christ. Now let us come to the throne of grace. Father, we come to thee. No other help we have. 70. This time, we will spend our time on our knee with a very special prayer to the three brethren of experience. We will have a kneeling down. I will request Brother Devi to come up and Brother Jaxik also to be come over here. And we would have Brother Tulio to be with us here. So with these three brethren of experience, let us bow before the Lord and we will have the consecrated moment. Brother Jaxik, Brother Devi, and Brother Tulio.
Our merciful Heavenly Father, in this solemn moment of our life, we come to thy holy presence in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, who is the creator and redeemer of ours. We are so thankful for our great privilege that in his name and through his merits, we can come to thee, helpless as we are, needy as we are, desiring from thee the blessing of thy holy presence. May thy Holy Spirit, according to thy promise, can come upon us during this session in the measure of plenitude. Prepare, we are so thankful for bringing every one of us from different corners of the world to worship thee in the beauty of thy holiness as our eternal creator, as our Father that loves us and gave the best of heaven for our redemption. And as we approach thy throne of grace in this morning, we pray that thy holy angels may come and circound all this place, that all our thoughts, all our words, and all our actions be in harmony with thy will, inspired by all those thy servants that will break the bread of life. Inspire them from on high, that they may speak, inspired by thy Holy Spirit, and we may have a new experience with thee in this day and during all this conference, that we can go back to our fields, our unions, and churches, taking that life-giving power of our Lord Jesus Christ living in us. Forgive us, Lord, where we came short, where we dishonored thee, where we sinned against thee. Forgive us in thy mercy and wash us in the precious blood of our Lord. And bless us, we pray, our hope is in thee. In the precious name of our Lord and through his merits, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne of grace with thankful hearts that thou hast brought us together here from far and near to worship thee. We thank thee, Father, for thy wonderful love, which was manifested on the cross of Calvary, where supreme sacrifice was made for our lives, that we might have life eternal. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast shown to us thy wonderful truth, the saving message. We thank thee for our Jesus, our Savior, who died on the cross, who suffered and bore our sins. And we pray, Father, now at the beginning of this session, that thy holy presence will be here in our midst throughout the whole of the meetings, and that thy name might be glorified in us as individuals and as a church, that we might realize our need in these last days, that we might realize that we may need to walk with Jesus every moment of our lives. And we pray, Father, that Holy Spirit will teach us thy will during these meetings. We thank thee that all our dear brethren and sisters from different parts of the world were able to come here safely. And we pray, Lord, to be with our dear ones who are left behind in different places in their homes. Be with them, with our families, Lord, and with our brethren and sisters throughout the world. Help us, Father, that we may arise and to shine, to reflect the light of Jesus, that Jesus will be everything to us, and that we will proclaim the name of Jesus throughout the world, that the world may hear that there is a saving power, that Christ is a Savior from sin and all the problems that are in the world. And help us, Lord, that we shall humble ourselves before Thee, that the words we shall speak and thoughts and our actions will be according to Thy will, and that everyone here shall receive a rich blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Nosso bondoso Pai que estás nos céus, na Tua divina presença estamos no início dessa sessão de delegados da Conferência Geral.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your many blessings. We are here at the beginning of this session.
O Teu povo está aqui representado a nível mundial.
Thy people are represented worldwide at this place.
Sem Ti, nada podemos fazer.
And without Thee, we can do nothing.
Pedimos a Tua presença em nosso meio.
We ask Thy presence in our midst.
Tu sabes as nossas necessidades neste momento.
Thou knowest our needs now.
Queremos uma porção dobrada do Teu Santo Espírito em nosso meio.
We would request, Lord, a portion, a double portion of Thy Spirit within our midst.
Ajude que esta sessão seja uma sessão histórica da Tua Igreja.
May this session be a historical session in your church.
Uma sessão de arrependimento, de confissão de pecados.
May it be a session of repentance and confession of sins.
Uma confissão das nossas negligências para com o Teu povo.
And may it be a confession of our neglect in our duties to your people.
Ajuda que haja uma mudança em nosso meio urgente, com os pastores, obreiros e membros.
And Lord, we pray that as ministers, as Bible workers, as members, that there would be a transformation in our lives.
Pedimos que Tu nos ajude para nos aproximar mais de Ti, para a conclusão da Tua obra aqui na Terra.
And we ask that You help us so that we may be brought nearer to You and be used in the finishing work here on this earth.
Tem misericórdia de nós, Senhor.
Be merciful unto us, O Lord.
Lembra-te das nossas famílias que ficaram em casa.
We ask that You remember our families that stayed at home.
Aceita as Suas orações em nosso favor. Especialmente os delegados que aqui estão. Para que assim possamos nos converter plenamente a Ti. Faça mais do que nós sabemos Te pedir. Esteja conosco nessa delegação.
Be with us throughout this time here that we are here, Lord.
Em nome do Senhor Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
Amém.